Christina Lake Cannabis is using proprietary outdoor genetics to grow and harvest cannabis in Western Canada. And with a 99-acre expansion, production should increase from nearly 72,000 pounds to a harvest capacity of over 194,000 pounds of high-quality, refined cannabis to extract exceptional THC and CBD oils. This cannabis highlight has been brought to you by Christina Lake Cannabis, U.S. trading symbol CLCFF and Canada CLC. ChristinaLakeCannabis.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. David Livingston is here as my colleague and co-pilot for Hotel Mars, Episode N. And right now we're going to concentrate on supersonic speeds on the planet Earth. However, Mars is part of this larger story of getting used to the idea of faster and higher and better and safer. And at the same time, it's got to make money. So we note a recent news story. I'm looking at Business Insider. It was also in the Wall Street Journal. United Airlines is buying 15 supersonic jets that could fly Newark to London in less than 4 hours. United Airlines is purchasing 15 high-speed jets from startup Boom Supersonic. The airline company has the option to buy 35 more from Boom in the future. Boom's superfast plans could cut some flight times in half by 2029, according to United. We welcome someone to help us on this story, whether it's what used to be called vaporware or whether we're actually looking at flying to London in 4 hours and Tokyo in record time, whatever they calculated to be in the brochures. Alan Boyle joins. He is CosmicLog.com. That's his website, and he's a contributing editor to GeekWire. Alan, a very good evening to you. First, is it vaporwire or is this the real thing after years of promises? Good evening to you, Alan.
Thank you. Well, I would say it's in a quantum state. It could be, this cat could be alive or dead, and we may not find out until 2029 which one it is. There's a lot more support for it. I mean, this United announcement certainly buoys the confidence, but there are other examples of supersonic ventures that have fallen by the wayside. And, you know, 2029 is a long ways away, so a lot can happen either on the positive or the negative side. So I would say let's see what happens to the cat when we open the box.
So somewhere between real and Memorex, somewhere in between. I get that. David?
Hi, Alan. Do they face some remaining technology challenges to fly supersonic, and do they think they're going to get to fly supersonic over land?
Sure. That's a moving target that NASA has its own project of working on low boom technology. And so they're still developing the standards for that. There's a demonstrator that NASA is working on with Lockheed Martin that is supposed to start flight testing next year. And over the couple of years that follow that, they're supposed to fly this supersonic jet over various communities and try to develop a standard for low boom flight. And so the technology that existed for Concorde way back in the Stone Age was really too loud. That was one of the reasons why Concorde fell afoul of U.S. regulations. And, of course, as John notes, the economics is a big issue as well. But I think what they're aiming for is to solve those issues, including the ability to fly at a low noise level as well as an economical operating cost. And they may not be quite there today, but they hope to get there when they're about to roll out commercial service. That's why it's going to take a few years to get this done.
Memory is that the Concorde was a supersonic plane, and it crashed tragically at the end. But the Concorde was never celebrated as a moneymaker. What has changed since the Concorde days that would make this more attractive to the public and also more ability to show a profit?
Well, there have been some advances in technology just in terms of the sorts of engines that you can use on this thing. They're continuing to do this, and after all, we do have a lot of supersonic jets in military service, and so there's been that ability to advance the technology there. And then there's the revolution in software and electronics. We've seen that in the case of the space industry and the satellite industry, that a lot of the advances in aerospace really are not so much about how the rocket gets lit or how the jet turbine works. It's in the software control and the ability to do that at a lower cost.
David?
Alan, these would fly in the low stratosphere part of the atmosphere. Do we know anything about the impact of this kind of a jet flying in the low stratosphere on ozone and the environment? And what about fuel cost? Are they significantly higher as of today? Is that one of the challenges, to get the fuel cost down?
Well, there's lots of hand-waving about the fuel. For example, with the United announcement, they talked about how Boom was going to use this sustainable aviation fuel that is going to be carbon neutral. And so I think that all those details, once again, are in a quantum state. They recognize that this is an issue that needs to be dealt with in terms of the environmental impact of these jets. And so they are taking it seriously to work on sustainable fuels. But that's another thing that's, so, as you might say, up in the air.
My memory of the Concorde, and I never rode the Concorde, it was something that was said to be for the jet set. That was the 20th century language. My memory is that it was not capacious. In no fashion did it compare to what you have today on the big jets, the business class and the first class, especially the business class. It was a narrow tube, and the speed was not all that impressive, given that you're dealing with discomfort or in some fashion claustrophobia. Is that going to change, Alan? Do we know anything about the cabin?
There are some limits just based on the physics of having to fly something at faster than the speed of sound. And so this is not going to be a huge jet that Boom is talking about. The maximum capacity is going to be 88 passengers. And in terms of the view out the window, it may be a virtual view. I know that the X-59 demonstrator that NASA is working on is not going to have windows in order to kind of streamline the aerodynamics. The Boom jet would travel at Mach 1.7, which is pretty good. As you say, that would reduce the cost of going to going from New York to London or Seattle to Tokyo to less than 4 hours. And by the way, John, if you want to walk through the Concorde, you should come out here to Seattle to the Museum of Flight. They have a Concorde out there that you can walk through and see just how commodious it is.
Have you walked through it? What is it?
I have. It's not all that commodious.
It
does feel like it's not a 747 jumbo jet, that's for sure. So it's kind of slim.
David?
It's not even a 707, because I've been in it before. How does the market shape up for demand for people to pay high seat prices for speed? Any good information on that, or is that up in the air too?
That's a moving target, of course, yeah. The talk about pricing is that it would be a premium on first-class seats, of course, but if a first-class seat from London to New York is $4,000, this might be $5,000 to $7,000. And so that's an issue. I think that that the backers of these supersonic ventures are gambling a little bit that there will be people who will pay a premium for getting there faster. And the bet on that is looking not quite as good as it did before the COVID pandemic hit, because now, of course, there's a lot of work that can be done remotely. it might be that executive who is taking that transatlantic flight could use satellite connection to do work while you're on the plane. It might be that flying in comfort for 8 hours will be judged as preferable to flying in tight conditions for 4 hours. So
yes,
I think it's more of an issue now than it was 2 years ago.
Yes, I don't think you can travel in a jet as fast as I have traveled in the last 24 hours from Mexico City to Brussels to London and then back to America. That's the power that we have today that we've gotten used to. Final question, 30 seconds, Alan. Right now, this purchase, is it, to your mind right now, is it economical now? We don't know what the prices are in the future, but if the boom jet exists now, could they be making money on it? Your measure.
I'm going to say in 30 seconds or less, no. I don't think it's viable, but I think they're gambling on the future like so many other ventures do.
Fair enough. That's the nature of going to the horse track. Alan Boyle from Cosmic Log. He also contributes at GeekWire. David Livingston, Dr. Space of the Space Show. This is Hotel Mars, Episode N. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Christina Lake Cannabis is using proprietary outdoor genetics to grow and harvest cannabis in Western Canada. And with a 99-acre expansion, production should increase from nearly 72,000 pounds to a harvest capacity of over 194,000 pounds of high-quality, refined cannabis to extract exceptional THC and CBD oils. This cannabis highlight has been brought to you by Christina Lake Cannabis, U.S. trading symbol CLCFF, and in Canada CLC. ChristinaLakeCannabis.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.